As we come together on this evening, thanking God for another opportunity to come to worship Him in spirit and in truth. As we think about the many things that God has done for us, the blessings that He has given us, the life in which we're living at this present time, we sing that song reference to count your many blessings. And I know that we have many things to be thankful for as we think about what God has done for us and what He will continue to do for us if we would only continue to trust in Him. On this evening, I want to direct your minds to the topic, what does my life exemplify? What does my life exemplify? What type of example are you setting? People are watching each one of us on a daily basis. You may not realize that, but just take the time and sit back and watch people. I like to people watch. I just want y'all to know that right now. As I people watch, I like to ear hustle. I'm looking at you, talk to somebody, and you're looking at me, and that only leaves one conclusion, Brother Mark, that you're talking about me. I don't care. But what type of example is your life setting? The Bible teaches us in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, Matthew 5, 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. That's key. The life that we're living is the life that God has given us. And who better to point people toward than the Creator, that they may give Him all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. But you know, when we talk about our lives and we talk about the lives of people in Scripture, I can stand before you all day long and I can tell you about what's in the Bible. And you can look at those things and you will say, man, I can't believe that that guy lived the way he lived. We have to, as it was prayed this morning, we have to make application. We have to find out, you know, if we're doing what God wants us to do. A man by the name of Saul, great persecutor of the church, Saul left a great example to us. The Holy Spirit inspired it to be written down so that we may see it. But he changed his life. He changed from being a persecutor of the Lord's church to being not just an apostle, but a preacher of God's word, that people may understand what they need to do in order to become a child of God. We find in the book of Genesis, chapter 6, as we looked at on this morning just briefly and on last Sunday evening. Genesis chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. God gave them freedom of choice at that time, did he not? I mentioned that this morning. There wasn't any incest at that time. You saw somebody that you wanted to be your wife, so choose. You know, they chose her. But this taking place led to a lot of things that God was not pleased with. And here where he says in verse 3, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Not always strive with man. The man's days was going to be cut short. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air. For it repented me that I have made them. That's some hard words, isn't it? To be in that number that God saw that wasn't doing what was right, and to be wiped off the face of the earth. See, those men at that time, they didn't care what they were doing. They were setting an example to the people that was around them. And I believe that when we take God's word lightly, and we don't care what we do, our minds, our hearts is on evil continually, then we just might as well go ahead and suffer the consequences of what's coming next. We should take God seriously. You know, there are some people that we just can't take serious. And there's many reasons why we can't take them serious. Maybe because they play too much. I used that phrase with Justin and Dante, and they picked up on it quick. And they would tell me, Papa, you play too much. But you know, playing is one thing, and being serious is something else. God has never played. He's always been serious about his word. Amen. Men just have taken his word lightly and have done what they wanted to do. Find it here, it says, men failed to recognize the importance of God in the days of Adam and Eve, and what a great loss they experienced. What loss was that? They got put out of the garden. Now, who in here would not want to live in a place like Adam and Eve was living? A place where you didn't have to worry about sweating. A place where you didn't have to worry about what you were going to eat. A place where you didn't have to worry about if you had clean clothes or not, because they didn't wear any. That was a good place to be. Right there in the garden, not realizing how serious this was. Eve listened to the old serpent. Again, they experienced a great loss. Men in Moses' day failed to recognize the same thing when they looked in other places to find joy and contentment. I believe that when we think of these two references here to Adam and Eve and to the men in Moses' day, I like how when Moses went up on Mount Sinai to get the commandments from God, and he came back down and he heard this noise as they had been to battle and they won the victory. Remember coming back from a football game. We had a perfect season that year. Oh, we were making a whole lot of noise. Perfect season, mind you. The coach pulled the bus over. You know what his question or his statement to us was? You act like you won. We had a perfect season. We went 0-10. But we were rejoicing. We were having a good time. And that's the way men are. When they have not done what they were supposed to do, have not put forth that effort, then they can find themselves having a good time. But we have to ask ourselves, have we taken God serious? Have we really looked at the consequences of the things in which we have done? And when we'll find that we're falling short, we need to go back and change. Men in the New Testament times were looking in the wrong places as well, and missed out on the greatest event in the history of mankind, the life of Jesus Christ. Again, looking in the wrong places. Have you ever lost something and you looked in all the wrong places to find it? And you just give up? Remember this, if you remember nothing else, you find it in the last place you look, so don't give up. They missed Jesus. And if you miss Jesus, you've missed it all. We have to understand that he is the reason why we're here today. We're here to worship Him. We're here to serve Him. We're here to honor Him. We're here to remember His death, burial, and resurrection. Yeah, we're in the month of December, and I'm just going to throw this out there that this is the month where everybody put Jesus right back there in the cradle. He's not a baby. He's not a baby. We can't treat Him like a baby. Jesus didn't die as a baby. Jesus died as a man. He died as a man that you and I may be able to live. And so therefore, we have to continue to give Him honor and praise. So what we think about as we look at this topic, you know, what does your life exemplify? What type of example are you setting? Who's looking at you, and what are they learning when they look at you? The things that you did on today, if someone saw you doing those things, would they say, you know, I'm going to do that, and would it be right? I could venture to say that most of the things I've done today, that if someone saw me doing them, they would say, man, I wish I could do that. But then again, you have to put yourself in that person's shoes, and you have to find out exactly why they're doing what they're doing. Always choices to make. Always choices to make. How many of you like choices? How many of you like choices? You know, Dante comes home from school every day, sometimes before he gets in the vehicle to come back to the house. Papa, can I have a snack? Can I have a snack? By all means, Dante, you can have a snack. No, Papa, I didn't say smack. I said snack. So when we get home, you know what he asks me sometimes? You choose. You choose. And you know what I do? I choose. But he don't like what I choose. Well, you choose yourself. When we was in the military, you know, we got counseling statements. We were being counseled on this and we were being counseled on that. And they'll put some things out there and they say, you choose. You want me to tell you why we have a choice? Because when those things don't work out, we have no one to blame but ourselves. So we choose the path in which we want to go down. And let's hope that we make the right choice in these things. What about choosing to love God? That's a good choice, isn't it? Amen. To love God. Why do we love Him? We love Him because He first loved us. So that's a good choice. There's people that are not making this choice, but we would hope that they would. They would make this choice because, again, this is right in the eyes of God. In the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 28 through 30. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 through 30. Y'all getting a bye tonight, Brother Mark. I'm giving it to you easy. You're not going to always get this. Romans 8, 28 through 30. And we know that all things work together for the good for those who love God, who are called according to His purpose, because those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that His Son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Verse 30, and those He predestined, He also called. And those He called, He also justified. And those He justified, He also glorified. God is not going to leave us out there on the limb. If we make the right choice, if we make the choice to love Him, He tells us right here, the last word there, that we will be glorified. Are you willing to be glorified on this evening? Are you willing to make the right choice to love God? You know, some people, they'll come to you and they say, I don't love you. Or I don't like you. I like you when they say they don't like me. I say, you don't have to like me, you just have to love me. It's God's word. Why? Because He first loved us. And if you don't love the next man, if the next man don't love you, you still need to love the next man because that shows the love of God. But this is all to be glorified by Him, not by man, but by Him. So what about loving God? Is that a good choice? Is that a choice that you want to make on this evening, to love Him, to do all that you're supposed to do, that He may be pleased with you? That if you die loving Him, that in the end you can enter into the kingdom of heaven to worship Him around the throne because of your love? Let's do that. Let's choose to love God. Let's choose to love God. But you know, there are some that love the world. There's some that love the world. And I'm not going to even say love the world more than they love God. They just love the world. And look what John says here in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. 1 John 2, verses 15 through 17. He don't say that you, it's okay to love the world. That's not what John says, is it? He says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Do you want to live forever? Well, if someone said, you know, I can give you whatever you desire, and you can live forever if you would just serve the devil, you say, that's not true. That's not according to Scripture. That's not what I want to do. I don't want the world. I want something that's out of this world. You know, there are many people here in this congregation that have you know, achieved the goal of retirement. And there are others that are striving to meet that goal of retirement. And there are some that will never get there. There are some that did not get there. But you know, we can plan for our retirement. We're going to take this vacation. We're going to take that vacation. We're going to buy this. We're going to buy that. Have you considered looking at the retirement that's out of this world? Are you planning for that? Because it's a great retirement. It's a retirement plan that will never change. And I'm so glad that God has designed it the way he has designed it, so that we may be able to achieve that retirement. Always choices. Always. There's a choice to follow Jesus. A choice to follow Jesus. If you have a desire to follow him, he's not going to push you away. He's going to allow you to follow him. But there are some that have been given this choice and they have looked at it and they have decided that that's not what I want. I don't want to follow him. But then there are those that have. In Luke chapter 14, verse 26 and 27, now this may be hard for some of you, but it's a must in order to show that you are following Jesus. If any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Now, is Jesus saying right here that you have to just physically, with all your every fiber in your body, to say, go up to your mom and say, Mom, I hate you. Or Mama, I hate you. Well, when you pick yourself up off the floor, you need to go back and ask yourself, is this what God is talking about? By going to your parent and telling them that I hate you. No, I believe it's this. When my mother and some other relatives come to visit and the worship hour comes, Mom and Dad or Mom or Dad has been there as well, it's worship time. I'm going to worship. But we traveled 800 miles to see you. Yes, but you know the distance that Jesus traveled. You know what he went through. I love him more than I love you. It's not that I don't love you. I love you. And so this is the conversation in my home. Well, it's almost 4:30. I guess we'll go now because you know Junior going back to worship service in a minute. That's okay, isn't it, Brother Mark? That's all right. That they know how you feel about your worship to God. That they know that your worship to God is more important than sitting around the house talking to them. So it's a choice that we have to make. And I would hope that we would make the right choice. You know, again, we go and we look at the number from time to time. We had 68 this morning. We don't have 68 here this evening. There are people that are sitting around right now in their home. You know what they're thinking about? What could I be doing? Very well, you could be here worshiping God. Amen. There was someone here this morning that said that they was going to be back tonight. They're not here. Why? Because they have found something better to do. If it's nothing but sleep, that they think that that's better than worshiping God. Sitting around having a good meal, they think that's more important than worshiping God. Or sitting around talking to family, that's more important than worshiping God. God said, if that's the way you feel, if you don't even, you know, hate your own life, he said, you cannot be my disciple. So we need to make a change, do we not? We need to make a change for the better and not the worse. Because there are many people that have made the choice to follow Satan. And again, it's a choice. It's a choice that before it's all said and done, before you have given up the ghost, before you're laid out, you need to make a change. Peter, the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 16, verse 23 and 24, a disciple of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, an apostle, one that chose to follow him. He was a fisher. And Jesus told him, come, drop what you're doing and come and follow me. He made that choice to follow him. But there was a time in his life where following Jesus was not the right thing to do. It was not the popular thing to do. Bible says, but he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Can that be said to you today? Can someone call you Satan and really mean what they say because of what you're doing? That's what Jesus told old Peter. Get thee behind me, Satan. He had allowed Satan to use him. But you know, Peter had to make a choice. Well, he made that choice to follow Jesus. He made that choice to follow Satan. Then he had to make the choice to come back to Jesus. And I believe that there are some people that need to make the choice to follow. There are some people that made that choice. Some people that are strayed away following Satan, they need to make the choice to come back. It's not too late. If you're listening to the sound of my voice, it's not too late. If you have the activity of your limbs, it's not too late. You're in your right mind, it's not too late. What? I had to put that last one in there because there are some people that, have strayed away, have come back, and their minds is not really where it needs to be. They're okay in the eyes of God. But there are some people that have left in their right mind, making these choices to do what they want to do because it is pleasing to them. God is dissatisfied with that. They need to come back. They need to come back. More choices. We can do this all night long, Brother Richard. But I know some of y'all want to go home. Y'all don't want to stay here to midnight, do you? But if the elders so desire to say, hey, we're going to preach until midnight tonight, and our service is going to last to midnight, there are some choices that you have to make. Some of y'all say, I'm going to go to work in the morning. I ain't got time for that. But you know what you do when you go home? You do everything under the sun. You don't go home and get no rest. But we're not going to preach all night, though. We're not going to do it, but I want you to understand the importance of looking at these choices, being spiritual-minded. You know, thinking about the things of God, thinking about the things that are going to save us in the end, spiritual-minded. 1 Peter 2, verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 2 and the verses 5. Ye also as lively stones, or built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2, 7, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. He is precious. So I want us to know and I want us to realize the importance of being spiritually minded. Spiritual sacrifices. Your worship, if it's not 100% what God wanted it to be, it's unacceptable to him. If your life is not what it's supposed to be and you come and you render your service unto God, it is not accepted. Because he tells us in Romans chapter 12 that we lift up our bodies as a living sacrifice. And we all know, if you don't know, we can talk about it, that a sacrifice had to be something that was perfect. Something without spot, something without blemish. can't have one eye, can't be crippled, can't be this or can't be that. Has to be perfect. Has to be perfect. So what about your spiritual worship, your spiritual service? Are you spiritually minded on this evening? Well, we have some people that are minded, reference to the world, fleshly minded, carnally minded, thinking about everything but God. You know what that leaves? When you're thinking about everything but God, that leaves you being first. You being first. You don't care about anybody else. You don't care about nothing else. As long as you get yours, you're happy. That should not be our attitude. If you have it, help the next man to get it. That's what God is all about. That's why he sent his son to die for us. Thinking about this and looking at what the scripture says. 1 Peter 2:11 through 12. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. That whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may be of your good works, which they shall behold. Glorify God in the day of visitation. A war. We have some ex-military people here, and we've had some people to go to war. We've had some people that had the opportunity to go to war, and they turned it down. War, you know, we don't like fighting. But here's something that we have to fight against. The lust of the flesh. We have to fight against it. And a lot of times we're fighting a battle and we just give up. We're like, well, you know, my mind going there, I'm going to let it go there. No, we have to keep fighting. We have to fight till the end. And it's going to be a battle that you're going to come out with some scars. And you need to. If you ever enter a battle and you don't come out with scars, it really wasn't a fight. It really wasn't something that you should have been involved in. But you come out with scars here. And these scars should be a reminder to us where God has brought us from and where we're headed. And that we may continue to do the right thing, serving Him in the right way, still choices to make. Choice after choice after choice. Put God first. Put God first. How many of us put God first? We say, well, God is God. You know, He can get whatever He wanted to get. He is God. No, we have to put Him first. Psalm 29, verse 2. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto Him, unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of His holiness. What's due unto Him? Due unto Him. Why is it due unto Him? To glorify Him. Because He's our Creator. He's done great things for us. He's given us many blessings. Let's accept this and let's be the child of God that He wants us to be. Let's not turn our backs on Him, but let's do what is right. Psalm 95, verse 6. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Kneel before Him. He is, again, our Creator. He's our Maker. See, we go to the person that can help us. And we ask that person for more and more things as we do unto God. Luke 14, verse 16 through 17. Then said he unto them, a certain man made a great supper and bade many to come, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for the things are now ready. They're now ready. God is not going to close the door on us until this time. We have to know, again, that this time that we have, we don't borrow time. You know, I've told you that if you borrow something, you have to give it back. So we need to put God first. And we need to understand that as we put Him first, self cannot be. Both of them, but you know, God and you know, we cannot say, well, we're equal with God. Whatever I do to him, I can do to myself. I can do for myself. No, God has to be first. He desires to be first. He desires to be first. You know, that's the way older children are. I was the firstborn. You know, I deserve all these things, except for the case of the prodigal son. He was the youngest. He was like, hey, give me what's rightfully mine. Put self first. Put self first. That's what people do. It's a choice. But again, we have to go back and we have to look at this. In Luke 14, 18 through 19, and they all with one consent began to make excuses, or an excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray that thee have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. Now, you would think when you look at that first one right there, where the one says that he has bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it, you would say, who would buy a piece of land without seeing it first? Been down that road. It turned out to be something good, but what I thought I bought, it wasn't mine. And somebody told me quickly, why are you on that property? That's not yours. That belongs to somebody else. But when we put these things before God, there is a problem. There is a problem. And the problem is we're selfish. We're selfish. I don't have time to worship today. You know, I got to get ready for Monday. You should have been getting ready for Sunday, as we're going to leave here shortly. Start preparing next week for Wednesday night, for next Sunday, or for a Bible class through the week. Start preparing for that. Well, I know I got Bible class, but somebody called me into work and I got to go to work. What? Why come you didn't tell them? They called you. It's volunteer. Why you didn't tell them, I can't come tonight or I can't come today because I already have God in my plan? Try that with the man and see what happens. I believe in some cases they will respect you a lot more than they do right now. Because right now a lot of people are just being used. Because when you fill out that application, you put on there, I need Sundays off and I need Wednesdays off. They get you one time, guess what? They're going to try to get you two. So we have to understand the importance of putting God first and not self. Many choices for man. Some surrender all. Some others do not. I want you to look at these and look at them, and we're gonna skip on for just a second here, because I want to cover something before the end. Matthew chapter 16, verse 26, Matthew 19, 21. As some surrender all, some draw back. And as they draw back into the world, doing the things that are pleasing to them and not unto God. We find, as we look at that, about those choices coming from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38 through 39, choices that should be easy. Easy. What do you mean easy? I mean that there are some choices that we make in this life that are easy, and there are some that are pretty hard. To give freely. That should be easy for you, to give freely, because you didn't have it. God allowed you to get it. You should, that's not going to hurt me to give back. But there are many people that don't want to give back, but we should give freely. We should give freely. For God loved the cheerful giver. I have no idea. The machine made a choice. Choices that prove us. We prove ourselves. How do we prove ourselves? We prove ourselves by going to the Word of God and seeing what is there and doing the things that are right before Him. Galatians chapter 6, verse 4 and 5. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Prove your own work. You know, a lot of times we want to mirror ourselves against somebody else. We want to say, you know, I can do exactly what he has done. And that may be true. But everything that he has done is not right in the eyes of God. So he tells us to prove ourselves. Make sure that we help out the next man. Make sure that we have our lives in order. Make sure, as you continue to read in Galatians, that you go out there and you see that opportunity to help somebody else, that you help them. That's proving yourself. But as we talk about proving ourselves, being steadfast, doing the things that God wants us to do, we have had many and still do today that are reprobates. They've turned back. They're worthless men. Are you one of them? Are you worthless to the point where you say, you know, I just can't do this anymore? The scriptures teach us right there in 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves. What are you being the faith? Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. You be worthless. Prove your own selves. You don't have to ask anybody else. You look at your own life, and you know if you have done what you're supposed to do or not. You know these things because you find it in Scripture. So examine yourselves. First of the year is coming up. What are a lot of people going to do? Well, some before the first of the year and some after. They're going to go and get that yearly exam. Insurance say, yeah, you can get an exam once a year. A lot of people are going to run and do that. We should be examining ourselves every day according to the Word of God. Making sure that we are who we're supposed to be, whether we are in the faith. There's only one. And if you're not in it, you're lost. You are lost. Choices that prove us reprobates. You mean tell me there is scripture for this? That show that we're not the people that God wants us to be? Yes, there is scripture for it. There is scripture for it. Romans chapter 1, verse 28 through 29. We like to go and we look here and we talk about that homosexual lifestyle of people. But look where it started. Romans 1, 28 through 29. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, didn't want to hold him there. They knew who God was, but yet they did not want to, you know, acknowledge who God was. God gave them over to a reprobate mind. To do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness. God gave them up. You know, a lot of times people say, don't give up on me. You gave up on yourself. God gave up on you. Why do you want me to continue to stand here? See, we need to reject some people so that they understand the importance of doing what God wants them to do. I know that's hard, but that's Bible. God gave those people up there in Romans chapter 1. We can do the same thing today. We can give some people up in order that they may realize that they need God. They need us in their lives. And we need them, according to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. We need them. So let's do what's right. There are some that resist God and truth. Resist God and truth. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further. For their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. See, we need to make it known that people are not doing what they're supposed to do. That they're not worshiping the way God wants them to worship. They have put some innovations in worship that God has not been pleased with and will not be pleased with. They're reprobate. They're worthless people. We need to put them aside and we need to get them to understand the importance of coming back to God before it is too late. All right, the choices that we make or the choices that we have made, there are consequences. There are results. And let us think about these things. Are you willing to eat the living bread that was talked about, read in the book of John chapter 6? Or are you willing to eat the living bread? Look what the scripture says there again. John 6, 50 through 51. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh. which I would give for the life of the world. We should be very thankful that Jesus came to do the will of the Father. Amen. That we may eat of this living bread and live forever. Well, what's on the other end? You can die the second death. If you don't live forever, throughout all eternity, you can die the second death. Revelation chapter 21 in the verses 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have the part in the lake which burned with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The result of your choices. Which have you chosen today? What have you chosen to live, or have you chosen to die? To follow Jesus or to follow Satan? To love God or to love the world? Choices, choices, choices. I just can't choose. Just can't choose. So a lot of times, again, we let someone else choose for us, and they do not have our best interest at hand. Let's believe that. So as we close, ask yourself, will you eat or will you die? You know, we you hear people say from time to time, you know, they may be 150 pounds, Gary, and they may say, I'm starving. You're not starving. You're going to be all right. You can miss one meal. But when we start talking about missing what God has for us, we're dying. We're dying. We have some people that are dying real slow. Not a fast death, but they're dying real slow. And we need to try our best to revive them. To resuscitate them. You know, that DNR that a lot of people sign when they go to the doctor. When you come through that door, or to the hospital, when you come through that door and you make that confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you do not have a DNR to sign. Amen. It's our right. It is our privilege. It is commanded for us to try to win you back, to get you back where God wants you to be. But first, you have to become a child of God. You're dead right now. You're dead. You're not a child of God. If you have not been baptized in the water of greater baptism, you are dead. We want you to be alive. We want you to live for God. We want you to do the things that are right. We want you to come and to make the confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. When we get ready to stand the invitation here, all you have to do is come down front and make that confession before the people that are here, and we will prepare you for baptism. We will baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We will continue to teach you the things that are right. Then maybe you have done those things and you're straight away. We're asking you to come back on this evening. Confess your faults. Get your life right with God. Live for Him. If you're hearing your subject, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing the invitation hymn.